practice so far, what you've been able to see with limited access?
Between, you know, what little we've seen and what Kirby's told us and what some of the boosters and parents have shared, I mean, it's kind of what we expected. You know, the Georgia has a really good offensive line. They've got a good run game. They're trying to work their passing game. The defense has probably fallen off a little bit in the front seven. Kirby wasn't happy with the tackling. But there's a lot of talent in the secondary, so it's pretty much as advertised.
Georgia Dog says, ask Griff, and he said, maybe it was on a Jim Donnan podcast, that Gunnar Stockton was fastly climbing the quarterback ladder.
Yeah, I don't know who he would have climbed over. I mean, I think I would. I mean, that's interesting to me because Kirby didn't indicate that. I mean, he talked a lot about how Gunnar Stockton played well in the scrimmage and how he usually doesn't get to see a whole lot of him because he's a four-stringer. But, I mean, I guess that's what you say when you don't want a guy to transfer, right? Nobody's going to beat out Stetson Bennett for the starting duties, and the competition's probably for number two between Beck and Vandegrift, you know, who have multiple years in the program.
Griff, will they align themselves with three tight ends regularly?
I think so. I mean, I think that's probably, you know, right now that's probably their best formation grouping. There'll be times with two wide receivers and two tight ends as well. I mean, they'll do a lot of different things. You know, we've even asked, I asked Todd Munkin last week if they put four tight ends on the field. But, you know, you got to look at, you know, Georgia tight ends. You know, we kind of just think this image when we think tight end, and it's, you can't put them all under the same roof, so to speak. I mean, Brock Bowers is almost like a receiver, and this Oscar Delp kid they got, another freshman, kind of a Brock Bowers lookalike, super talented guy out of Georgia. So they've got two receiver-like guys, and I don't even know what Eric Gilbert is. I mean, I don't think anybody's seen a guy like this. I mean, this guy is big, fast. I mean, he's everything. I mean, he's super talented. Was out of football last year. He, of course, remember he played at LSU's freshman year. But this guy is just, this guy's built different. I don't even know what I call him. And Darnell is just a nightmare for anybody. I mean, the guy's 6'7", 270, and he just, you know, knock you on your ass, or, you know, he can run around. He's got great hands. So they've got some dudes that are just going to be, you know, ridiculously difficult matchups for defenses.
Mike Griffith, AJC's Dog Nation. So Kirby was a little disappointed in the defense, specifically the front. Is that what you said?
Yeah, he's got to be disappointed in something, right? I mean, if the offense does well, then that means the defense had a bad day. If the offense doesn't do well, you know, then he'd be disappointed with them. So, you know, I think it's the first time they've tackled, you know. I mean, they do the thud stuff, and so the first time you scrimmage live, your tackling's probably not going to be as sharp. You know, you're going to be careful also how you hit your teammates after, of course, they got JT Daniels banged up in a scrimmage last year before the season. He never really got better. So, you know, I think Kirby's probably being careful this fall. And so you're going to limit the hits on your best players. And yet still the offense, the run game particularly, had a good day. And the quarterbacks had their moments as well.
Hoptown boy up in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Ask Griff that if he was the athletic director at Kentucky, how would he handle the dust-up between Cal and Stoops?
I just wouldn't. I just let it go. It's over. It's done with. Move on. I mean, it's, you know, there's no winners here. You know, I mean, Kentucky is a basketball school. You know, but by, you know, their argument, you know, it just brought attention to the fact that Kentucky basketball has been underachieving of late. And brought attention to the fact that Kentucky thinks they're a football school, even though they haven't even played an SEC championship game yet. That's a pretty low bar, man. So I don't think anything good came of it. So I think everybody just shut up and dribble and play football up there.
Did you know Mitch Barnhart at Tennessee? Were you there then?
I didn't know. No, I didn't run across him. He was one of those associate ADs. I mean, now he's might be the most tenured athletic director in the country. And, you know, you look at what he's done at Kentucky, and it's really remarkable. It's not just, you know, maintaining the basketball standards or the basketball, I don't know if I'd say standard the last couple of years, but, you know, they get some great players in there. Rupp Arena's always rocking and rolling. And football has become respectable, you know, which I would have never thought. You know, I mean, just imagine if you put Mitch Barnhart at Vanderbilt with the resources Nashville had, right? That just goes to show you how terrible Vanderbilt athletics and management comes to football. But I think he's done a great job up there at Kentucky. And, like, I think that's a tough place to recruit. because you're in the SEC, but you don't really have that weather. You don't really have that in-state football recruiting base. You've got Ohio breathing down your neck. Anybody that's good in your region, Ohio State Buckeyes are right there. So I think Kentucky's done about all that Kentucky can do in football. And in basketball, you know, they've obviously, you know, had the resources to get the best players there every year. And there's times when, you know, they look great on TV, but, you know, unfortunately, the way basketball works, you're always judged by that tournament, which I've never been a fan of. I know the fringe fans like it because they don't have to watch the whole season. They just watch the tournament. But, you know, I always, you know, kind of respect the teams that do well during the regular season, and sometimes they never get the payoff in the tournament. And Kentucky's a marquee program. Even though they've been down, it's kind of like Alabama football. It never really goes away.
Yeah, I mean, we've had two good snits publicly. The Saban comment that got Jimbo all wound up, and then the Cal comment down in the Bahamas that got Stoops tweeting about it. Do you think that's the current environment that's got everybody irritable, or just random?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, social media's got its positives and its negatives, right? And, you know, we always say, gosh, I wish we knew more about it. Well, sometimes maybe you really don't. Sometimes you're really glad you don't really know. I wonder how those guys get along in real life. Well, here you go. You know, social media is a dynamic of our lifetime that I think we're all still adjusting to, and we all gauge differently, and we all have different comfort levels of what we think is acceptable or not acceptable to say, and might even be a generational thing, Bill. Some, you know, a lot of kids grew up with it and probably don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, guys like me, you go, holy cow, I can't believe they say that in public. I mean, some of the stuff that young people say to me now, I can't believe. I'm sound like the old guy trying to tell everybody to get off my lawn, but man, it is a different world for sure.
Doug DiBiase up in Connecticut says, and he's been an SID and been in athletics, et cetera, through the years. He says, I don't disagree with Kirby's thought process on the Florida game. He says, I've been to Jacksonville, I've been to the Swamp, I've been to Athens, and I always wanted to see that game played on campus. Griff, I don't know what more we can say about this until we find out what happens, but if you want to comment on what he just said.
Well, I don't think anybody that wants Georgia to win championships disagrees with Kirby's thought. I mean, the previous business model got Georgia one championship in 41 years. Might want to change the way you do business. Scheduling is a big part of that. And if you're self-imposing a restriction on your recruiting, I don't think that's very smart, Bill. If you're going to say, you know what, Nick Saban gets 8 SEC home games every 2 years. We're going to try to do it with only 7. And we're going to give away our biggest home game of the year every other year. Could be our best recruiting weekend every other year. And we're going to give it away so some folks can, you know, go to their, whatever, beach houses and drink in the trailer park or the RV park across the street from the stadium. And, you know, come on. You know, some traditions just, you know, when they did that, when that game started being played, there was no SEC championship game. Recruiting was not anywhere near what it is now. It fit the moment. The demographics of the state of Georgia were different as far as where UGA students came from. And, you know, now you look at the demographics. Now you get most of your students out of the metro Atlanta area. It's closer to Georgia. Recruiting weekends are pivotal. You know, it's not all about going to a bowl game and having a good time. It's about winning a championship. And that means every competitive advantage that you can get, you need to take. And frankly, Jacksonville Stadium, TIA Bank Field, doesn't match up with Sanford Stadium. Sanford Stadium, it's a much better game day. It's a much friendlier environment. It's a great college town. In Jacksonville, they had people get shot in the parking deck near the stadium after the game. You want that or you want to walk? I mean, so I'm just, it's apples and oranges to what it once was. And I understand people want to hold on to traditions. And in general, people are against change. In general, right? Everybody gets comfortable with the way things are. And so for those people that have enjoyed that game for years and years, it's a comfort level. It's a familiarity. And we like that in our species, right? But for Kirby, who's trying to raise the bar and change the tide, because here's the deal. The narrative is not that Georgia football is the best program in the SEC. That's not the narrative. They just won a national title and they're ranked number 3. And I know there's reasons for that, but my point is this, something I said earlier in this conversation. Kentucky and Alabama football never go away. If you want to talk about the narrative, those are the marquee programs in those respective sports. If you want to change it, then you better take action and you better change the way you do business, because the way you were doing it before didn't get it done. So at least put yourself on a level playing field with Nick Saban, right? And that's all Kirby's trying to do. And he's not trying to cancel Jacksonville. He's just trying to say, look, that's a Georgia home game, and we need to play all our home games in Georgia. That's what he's saying. And, oh, by the way, they just put $240 million into facilities. It would be nice to show them off to the best players in the country. So that's what Kirby's thinking. And, you know, to me, it's way overdue. The next thing they need to do is stop playing Georgia Tech in Atlanta. It's another wasted effort. So, you know, Kirby's got to build, you know, make some decisions that'll enable Georgia to compete for championships with programs, you know, like Alabama and, you know, like I think LSU on the rise. I think Tennessee's back on the rise. I think Florida's not nearly as bad as people think. You know, Georgia's not that far off from dropping out of that top spot in the East if they're not careful, because these other programs are coming.
Jeff, too, wants to know if you noticed where Vanderbilt bought. You know where that the mural is on the side of that wall on West End? There's Cumberland Transit, the bike place. Apparently they bought that third of an acre for $5 million. I don't know what he want. What does he want you to say? They're going to put a softball field there, which we know they won't do. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, you know, again, I don't understand it. You know, when it comes to Vanderbilt, I appreciate the academics. It's one of the most beautiful campuses. It was always one of my favorite road trips, and certainly the hospital does wonderful things for many people. But they've got some of the dumbest smart people running athletics there that I've ever. I mean, I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. It could be an absolute moneymaker. It could be a tremendous source of pride. The Nashville area has so many great high school players. It has really changed. You know, we talked about how things change over the years. Nashville area high school football has gotten so much better. Georgia got some guys from up there. I mean, that's the spot Kirby's looking. And if Kirby's recruiting there's talent, man. There's frontline guys coming out of that area. Those high school coaches there are busting their butts, doing a great job. There's families that are moving there. The community's growing. You know, sometimes in academics, you got to kind of be aware of your surroundings. You can't just put yourself in your ivory tower and say this is the way it's always been. I mean, that's not a sign of progress. I don't think that's something the Vanderbilt family would be proud of. I think they need to get with the times and recognize what's happening and modernize that university's football program, take advantage of the surroundings, areas, and the talent influx and the desire that people have to be in Middle Tennessee. It's almost like they're trying to be bad.
Griff, we'll let you go. We'll see you next Tuesday, sir.
I appreciate it, Bill.
There he is. Mike Griffith, the AJC's Dog Nation.